the 11. And we'll see how far we get in Sukumai tonight. It seems like every time I get to a subject, I am eager to spend more time in it than I really have. And, especially in Prasukumai. I have done so much work on Prasukumai. It's hard to contain in many ways. So, Father, we're grateful for the evening. We're grateful for the week. We look forward to it. We're thankful for those things that you provide to come our way. May those who traveled enjoying the fact that when they travel, they are never alone, but they're always with you and your Son and with the Holy Spirit. May the time we spend together be that which is special, and we trust that it might be that which will grow saints. Give us a greater confidence in so great a God, and we'll be grateful for that. Thank you again for your word, and we're thankful for the ways in which you have organized our communication with you. And we'll thank you as you bless in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we've got rolling along a little bit in it. You can get an idea of the approach by just looking at structure in that, we've gone through some general significance of the term Prasukumai. I do make some mention, and that's all it is. If I was writing in this area and was led to do so, I would probably do several pages, as in maybe 100 or 200 pages.
Whoa.
In this section where we are on worship communication, or prosukamai, or prosuke, in other dispensations. There is so much material, and so also I feel like when I look at this, it is very slim, because I just mentioned that there is a kind of communication in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, that is, in the millennial kingdom, and then there was also a part of the offer of the kingdom during the earthly ministry of Christ in which prosukamai was used. And so there is a substantial amount of material that we possibly might study. I feel like right now this week is one of those possible study weeks, in that like my forum material is material that teaches us something we really need to understand about the Old Testament, but it's different in the Old Testament than it is in the New. And so in the Old Testament, the way that God delivered revelation was a little different than it is in the dispensation of grace. I'm not going to teach that paper. in that matter.
He's going to behave himself.
Yeah, and I have to be careful there, too.
yeah.
I don't want to get off and chase that rabbit.
Yeah.
Because of the difference. But I trust that will be of value. But anyway, we're dealing with the thing of communication. Now, again, since we're online, in many cases, the questions that I have to ask to remind you, how many kinds of communication are there? Mentioned for grace believers. And by name, we have eight. Those eight are based on, their derivatives, so there's really more breakouts, like praise was inesis. And there are four words that relate to that. Inesis, epineses, epineo, inesis, okay. Anyway, there, you have an epi in front of two of them. So we end up with a lot of words in a lot of cases. Prasukumai is not that complex, by the by. We have two words. That's just they carry, and they occur so many times. I mean, if it wasn't for the number of occurrences, it would be a pretty easy study. Because of the number of occurrences, if you accept that prosuke is worship communication with the Father, then if you accept that premise, then it tells you something about what God expects of us in our communication. And we will be spending a lot of time repeating back to God that which he said about himself in worship. And that is very weird for most Christians. They have never worshiped God, or if they have, it's been by mistake. They don't understand it. There are many Christians who think if you've gone to church and gone to a worship service, they've been worshiping God. Well, what they think of in some churches today, the modern church, you have cheerleaders leading the service with a band. And if you can raise your hands near your armpits, then you're worshiping.
Yeah.
That's the way I was thinking. That is what we always were taught that worship was.
Yeah. And
it was all in the music and getting all hyped and ready.
And it's really interesting because biblical worship is just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
It is worship is from the spirit and not from the soul.
Mm.
Soul is secondary. It's okay to have soul worship, as it were. But you have to use your rationale or else you're a loose cannon in that matter. I mean, you have no object to your worship.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all feeling, and if it feels right, it's good. And that's a problem. Well, let's get back to where we were. Eight kinds of communication. We've been talking about three, which do not demand a response. They're in response to either the existence of God or to some benefits that God has provided. We have one kind of communication of the three that are involved, and it is an indicator of the spirituality of a saint. And that's the communication of worship, of thanksgiving, pardon me. Thanksgiving, Ephesians chapter 5, when you're filled with the Spirit, one of those participles that go back to the main verb is that you will be thankful, being thankful for all things, remember 5:20 in that matter. And so we respond in thanksgiving for a benefit, though praise is not listed directly to being Spirit-filled. It doesn't have to be because it's a logical adjunct to that very thing. That is, if you're thankful for a benefit, you should be thinking about who gave you the benefit, expressing appreciation for the character. And that is one of God's divine mechanisms to mature us. So that when we are thankful, that's very elemental. There's nothing wrong with thanksgiving. But when we start thinking about God more, it makes us understand the depth and extent of what God is doing. And it's a logical thing. The third one, of course, is worship. So those are the three that don't demand a response. The terms are Eucharistia, which is a word for thanksgiving. And I'm just going to give one word as a root. Inesis is praise. And prosuke or prosukamaya, I'm putting it because we're there right now. Okay, now we have five others. And you have three that expect some kind of a divine response. We'll talk about those. You have asking, you have intercession, you have supplication. So there are three, that's six. Then you have the other one that we probably use more than we ought to because we get ourselves in trouble. And that's confession. And for Psalm 1:9 makes that very clear. We confess our sins if we should happen to confess our sins. And that's saying the same thing God does about them. And that's part of the, I mean, homologeo is the definition of praise in Hebrews 13:15. I'm kind of throwing it together instead of the way I wanted to in that matter. So, and then we have the last one, the eighth one, is a vow. And it's not something we use very often. Yes, it is a root that is used in prosukemai, ukemai, but which is first, the chicken or the egg, is kind of where that is. It's rather rare. We get more information about the vow out of Old Testament than we do. That is, I'm talking about the Gospels. If it wasn't for James 5 and its location in Scripture, we probably wouldn't even spend a lot of time even on it. But we don't, most of us don't usually have to do that. We don't have a reason to make that kind of a vow that says, okay, if you will enable me to do something that I need to do, but it might not work, I will do it. If your Holy Spirit permits it. I'm not doing it by the hair of my chinny chin chin, or I'm not doing it by my grandfather's beard. You know, that's some Old Testament vows in that matter. So, okay, let's talk about the two passages that are pretty important for us. The two passages that tell us that there's at least five kinds of communication in the New Testament. We have two passages. They overlap. Both of them have four. And there's one extra in each one, so they end up with five. And the first one is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And you have four kinds of communication mentioned there. And let's do that to review.
1 Timothy
2. And right at 1 and 1, I say 1 and 2 because verse 2 gives us an idea of what they are involved with. But he says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, and we're going to get there. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Over the years, I've kind of formatted in my mind how I would put these in a book form, in a sense, so that people, you know, do you spend more time in prayer or in supplications or intercession? You tend to spend more time in help. That's what that is. Then next you have that supplication there. Then you have prayers of worship. That's our term here. Then you have intercessions. And then after that, let your thanksgivings be made known for all men or on behalf of all men. And its thanksgivings happens to be plural. And so you have four in that passage. The next passage is Philippians 4:6. And that's a little different. Now in 1:2, you have no definite article in front of any of them. When you get to the matter of worship, it's the second term in the list. So prosukamai can't be a general term out of 1 Timothy 2. In Philippians 4:6, yes, prayer is the first thing. That's what happens. I just did it backwards. And I haven't been studying Hebrew that much today.
Did you say 1 Thessalonians for anything? Or
is that just me? Not yet.
Okay.
I may have. I don't know. I'm not accountable for anything.
I don't know. I wrote 1 Thessalonians and started going there. So, but you said Philippians 4:2.
4:6.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And so there it says, be anxious or be careful for nothing. And it, I mean, this passage is great for this class, but it's agreed all the time. Mm-hmm. This deals with anxiety. When it says careful, it's easy to understand. That's King James English. King James English says, be full of care. And so we translate it anxious or to have anxiety. And so it's not a terrible bad translation, but the way careful works these days, it means be daring all the time. That's not what it is. So he says, be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care for anything. But in everything, by the prayer of worship and by the supplication, after thanksgivings, let the requests of you or askings of you made known to God. So three of those have a definite article. I know it sounds awkward when I translate it that way.
After thanksgivings rather than with? Supplication with Thanksgiving? It's after?
Yeah. Let me review that.
Yeah, because I noticed you corrected that.
Yeah, it's, and the thing is, that's what happens when you get a seminary professor teaching some of these things. Some of these things I don't like to let go. The preposition is meta, which is usually translated with. And so this tells me sometimes how well people understand the language. Because meta is not usually found with what we call an accusative. That means a direct object. And the form here is accusative. And so meta with the accusative is translated after. So it's a different order, not in company with, but it's after. So it's sequential then. And so after Thanksgiving's plural. I love that. You know, once you get thanking God, it's kind of hard to stop, isn't it? You know, yeah, it was a good hamburger, but you know, in that matter. So those are keys. So if we can remember these, that I sometimes am trying to equip all of you, so that if you're talking to somebody, it is so foreign to even have anybody say there's more than three or four kinds of communication with God. Most people don't understand it. They get all their prayer doctrine out of the Gospels. And I don't care about fish. You know, if your son asks for a fish, are you going to give him a stone? And I've heard that, I read about that in so many books on prayer, and it's taken totally out of context. And again, it's a bit of a marker of biblical ignorance. And it's coming from people that shouldn't in many of those cases. Okay. Now, we talked a little bit about the fact that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, that is a millennial kingdom, and this is where we kind of left off. I have four of them there. I needed to punch it. You have Matthew 5:44, Matthew 6:5-9. We went through these last year in that matter. And last week. I hope this is not the rest of my week. No. I've been going through a lot of things trying to get my ducks in a row. I'm depending on something I haven't for a while for a form, so I'm happy with my structure, but I don't have my levers, because by the time I got to Friday, it was no question that I was not going to be doing PowerPoint. My brain was not functional. And so in Luke 6, Luke 11:1, I think, you know, it's really interesting how many classes that are taught and books that are written and devotionals are written when the disciples come to the Lord and they say, teach us to pray. And they don't understand. They don't read the context. They say, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. They can pray and we can't, because he taught them and we don't know anything about it. They did not have that ability. Because most people do not realize that in the Old Testament, the ones who had access were priests, and hopefully they were in the right shape to pray. And so you went to Jerusalem for a pilgrimage feast, you had access to a priest who would pray for you. And you didn't. And there were some exceptions, but very few under the Old Testament law. And so that makes a big difference. And so they just want to know to pray. I mean, the Our Father, quote unquote, is telling them that this is how the disciples would pray. But the kingdom hadn't come. They were still in the process of offering it. And all that material will be more effective, and it makes sense then on it. I wish that as many hours were spent on accurately teaching the Sermon on the Mount and not misapplying it to the wrong people. Because every bit of that misapplication, it leads to a heresy of one kind or another. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it's a very difficult kind of thing. Okay, let's look on down. In Matthew chapter 14, and again, we have so many interesting things that are done with it, and I have to get off my negative horse tonight. But in Matthew chapter 14, we find Christ's example of prayer, quote unquote. And I've seen this abused so many times over the years, where people will, they want to go off alone onto the mountain to pray, because Jesus did in Matthew chapter 14. So he went up to a mountain. And I think about this, it's just so, you know.
I had a friend of mine, true story, when I was in with the Alliance, he gave me a trailer, and that was what I went in to pray, was my trailer.
Not a closet, not a portable closet.
No. Goofy.
Yeah, well, and we were sincere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I say that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are elements of a lot of that. And I don't know. I think God, we have to learn negative by negative things, and that's one of them.
Yeah.
And so, well, my fingers are not working good tonight. So, 14:13. When Jesus heard of it,
14:13
or 23. Oh, 23. Yeah. He departed to the desert here. 23 is right. I'm going to read from 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. He sent the crowds away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Now it's kind of interesting when we read that. He went alone. The word is idiotes, which means by himself. The word idiot is technically a term. It means one who's stuck by on himself. He doesn't see anything else. And it had mental issues when it's used outside. But here he went by himself. So they translated in some places privately, but by himself. To communicate worship, and he was there alone. A couple of particles that are interesting there because, nobody was there. He dismissed everybody, in that matter. So, I remember, which I recently heard more about, the person I'm thinking about, who went and found a mountain in Eastern Oregon and he'd go over there to pray. Hmm. Then I found out that what was going on wasn't all Christian prayer.
Oh.
I don't think he had a teepee up there or not. He got involved with some of this mystical kinds of Indian stuff. And I thought, I'd like to have thought there was a little bit more stability there. So Jesus could worship or communicate with the Father. Matthew 26. Beginning at verse 36, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit here while I go yonder and pray. I'm going over there. I can see the gestures. When you read the Bible, especially historical narrative, if you understand the characteristics of the Jewish race, you tend to see gestures sometimes because they talk with their hands like other groups do too. And so you can just see that gesture. I read it and I think gesture. And so he went over in this distance. Now, Gethsemane is not exactly a 2-acre plot. Though it was almost that, it's the Church of All Nations over there, the traditional site. But it's in the Kidron Valley. Yeah, it probably meant going up, the edge of the Mount of Olives. We're not totally certain. There's all kinds of tradition, like I've said many times before. If this is supposed to be the place where something actually happened, it probably did not happen there at all. And of course, there wasn't property there for them to build a church on it. So they had to find property so they could build a church and say that's where it happened. So in 36, he tells them that's what he's going to do. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. He didn't put on weight. The word sorrowful is the word for grieve. We do not as grieve as those who have no hope, 1 Thessalonians 4. But the idea of the second term is the term of being filled with distress. It's kind of a little stronger than anxiety. It was very unsettling is the idea. And so he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. When he says exceedingly sorrowful, he uses a word to grieve, puts a preposition in front of it to intensify it. And so that's a good translation. I would probably exceedingly grieve would be better. Even unto death. I feel like I'm about to die. Now, where's that coming from? That's soulish. I mean, soul is the animator. And so, even unto death, tarry ye here and watch with me. Be here, remain here. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou. And then the wilt is in italics, is in ellipsis. And so he was communicating with the Father. We know this much because we were expected to know this. I am afraid if we had any idea of the full extent of that communication, we would spend forever trying to grasp it. Because he knew in his human nature that he was about to suffer death. He also knew that there was a promise of resurrection, but he didn't know when. And it was one of those things that were obscure to his human nature. There were questions that were asked. And so it was more and more pressure. And this cup is the cup of which he's to partake is his physical death. Verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What? Couldn't you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and worship. That you enter not into temptation. Get your head where it needs to be with God the Father, and that you not enter into temptation. Notice he picks on Peter here. As where you've got three of them, and he comes to Peter. Who's the one that ends up with the problem? He tries to behead somebody, and it's a bad shot. He only gets an ear on it, and then he betrays him thrice later. The temptation issue. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what's so true of Peter. He was very impetuous in the way he behaved. He was quick to pull a gun. But
step out of a boat.
Step out of a boat. And the presumption, those kinds of things. And he, that is Christ, went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. So he could anticipate the fact that he was going to die and participate from it. And we don't usually have time in evening school classes to deal with. This period of time in Christ's life, it's just, there's so many things going on in Christology. It's hard to stop and spend a few hours in, the cup and the hour. Those are two terms that fit in here. But the cup is partaking. The hour is the hour when he is commended into the hand of men. And men take control of the human nature of the person who's the creator of the universe. And that's pure awesome in that matter.
Would that be his determinative will there?
Although,
in verse 42?
Well, he's in conformity with the Father's determinative will. Because there he's dealing with desirous will. But
it's Christ's desirous will.
Well, yeah, it's saying my desirous will, and remember he had two wills.
Mm-hmm.
He had a will in his divine nature, was Thelo, Thelema. And in his human nature, he had a will. And there was a huge controversy in Christology that came from that. They called it the Monothelite controversy, where they said he didn't have two wills and he only had one. And it was a huge problem in the early church on that. But we won't worry about it on that one. Yeah. So, I mean, you see the manifestations of issues related to will at that point. And so, it is thelema, because it's not boule or boulamai. And he came and found them asleep again. I'm in verse 43, for their eyes were heavy. It's so interesting. The word heavy means it was like they were carrying a load. Burdened, bearing burdens. They just couldn't get
on their eyes.
Mm-hmm. On it.
Get so tired you just can't.
Well, yeah, it's just kind of like after church potluck and morning and afternoon service.
Poor Chris. Looks out there, everybody's snoring.
And it's just, I mean, it's just,
yeah.
You wonder if you'd taken opioids. I mean, it's just, and to me, sometimes it's just, it's not funny, but to be absolutely wide awake and bright eyed with bushy tail and all of them gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, whoo. so anyway, that's
heavy. Okay.
But it's heavy or burdensome. And he left them again and went up again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he cometh to his disciples and saith to them, go ahead and sleep on. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. See, there's the other word that's important. I mean, the hour, and you can see what it is. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us get going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And so he was talking with the Father in his human nature. He was communicating. We get the core of it, the repetitiveness of it, because he's trying to, by the scriptures, teach us there is a difference between the cup and the hour. And he uses, I mean, that is really important here. And remember, he's going to be on Calvary, I mean, on that cross within 24 hours. And so the cup isn't far from being spilled in that matter. Mark 1:35, I'm not going there. In fact, I'm not going to go to any of these three. He went to a desert place to pray. When Christ would go somewhere to pray, you don't have to go any, I have that bulletin cover that I once in a while will use. Anywhere is alone with God. You don't have to go into a closet. You don't have to go off anywhere to do it necessarily. It took me a while to adjust to saying I can have the same quality of prayer in a crowd and just talk to the Father as if I was out along my favorite mountain stream. You know, because it took a while to get that out of my system, because I had been maybe taught that if you get away in the closet, God used an interesting thing about the closet thing, because we went to a church. Well, my dad had an aunt and an uncle who attended this charismatic church over on the coast in Washington State. And they were good people. There was not much else there to go to. It's even gotten worse since, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they were going to this charismatic church. And my aunt just was so proud to have a preacher in the family and so proud of her nephew. It was not funny. I mean, if we went over on vacation, she would have loved me to have a Bible study morning, afternoon, and evening. Have the whole peninsula in. You know. So we went and saw this pastor. And my dad was real reluctant to go into a full-blown Pentecostal church and speak. And he did it for his aunt. And he preached a very simple message when he preached there. And I don't remember whether it was before he preached or after. The pastor asked us to come and see his study. And he had a prayer closet.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so proud of his prayer closet. And I'm a teenager. And it was all I could do not to laugh when everything, I mean, he was so serious and it was so hilarious. Because, I mean, he had his own private restroom facility for that purpose.
Wow.
And he had a cot and he had everything else. I thought, afterwards I thought, man, that guy was playing with fire when he has a cot at his study. But, anyway.
How many enemies were in that closet?
Yeah. The funny part was
a couple of our enemies that we deal with.
Yeah. Well, that guy, I ran into him a couple hundred miles away in a Bible bookstore. Mm-hmm. And he recognized me. And like I said, I was a teenager. And he said, I still appreciate what your dad said. He said, I know what he preached. And he gave me my dad's outline.
Wow. Man.
You know, that was deep. And I thought, yeah. That was, my heart went out to the guy in many ways. You know. Okay, that's too many illustrations. Old Testament believers in the time of our Lord. Prayer and fasting. Where do we want to go for prayer and fasting? Let's go to Matthew 17. Mark 9:29 is very similar. Matthew 17. With worship, it doesn't hurt to know a little bit about theology proper. And back then, they were having a lot of troubles with understanding a lot of this. So let's just read. Let me get my Matthew 17 passage. Matthew 17:21. Howbeit, let me read 20. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you had the faith of grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it'll remove. And nothing is impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And so they sing a prayer and fasting.
I remember doing that.
Yeah. And
for specific things.
And you get, I mean, when that's happened, I mean, if you go to a meeting where they really push that in some of those churches, I mean, you didn't know who was praying and whose belly was making noises because they were, you know, because they'd fasted and they were having problems. Mm-hmm. I have no problem with fasting, but I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, if I plan a fast, I've gone overboard. If I don't eat because I'm so involved with the Lord and His Word and that sort of thing, and just plain forget, that's grace. Mm-hmm. I don't have to plan it on it. I mean, this prayer and fasting thing is not a weight loss program. But it's, you know, being with the Lord and relating to it. But this was the Old Testament where they were doing some kinds of communication that were interesting in those days. And so, I mean, what's interesting, like Mark 11:17, I'm not going to stop on some of these. In letter D, my house is a house of worship, a prayer. I think it's funny when they translate that worship, it's the house of worship. And here you're getting prosukamai, and some people don't know that they're really accurate. In Matthew 21:22, I guess I'd stop there because you have, a little problem. It's not a problem really. Again, we're in the Old Testament here. In Matthew 21:22, what does it say? It says, and when he was in the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? Who gave you this authority? Oops, what did I do? I jumped the verse. But that's, I mean, that fits well. I better go to 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto thee, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this, which is done up to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be removed, you see the parallel we've already read, and be thou cast into the sea, it will be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive it. I know several books were written based solely on that verse. And this is gospel kinds of communication. You ask in the prayer is what it actually says. There's a definite article in front of it, as an end preposition. And so people grab that. John R. Rice wrote a book. It's awful when I think of this. This is clear back in antiquity. He must have written a couple of years after Josephus. Anyway, he wrote a book entitled Prayer, Asking, and Receiving. And that was what it was all about. When you ask and you get, that's all prayer was. It didn't even have three parts. You only had two in that book.
And you know what I'm hearing a lot of now is that you have to have the attitude of expecting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've heard that so much just recently from different folks out there. Just expect it. And yeah. God's going to answer. I'm like, how do you demand from God, you've got to do this thing for me? I just can't believe people think like that.
Well, the reason where they're going with it is because expect in faith. And, where it comes from, primarily,
isn't it?
It comes out of James 5.
Uh-huh.
When it says, and I'll use the English, the AV, says the prayer of faith will heal the sick. You can tell which direction that has come from.
Uh-huh.
So the prayer of faith. So the prayer, if you expect it, you'll be healed. Mm-hmm. Well, Oral Roberts.
Yeah.
Made a fortune off of that.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of others are still doing it. On it. And so expectation.
The guy from 700 Club too, Pat Roberts.
Yeah.
I remember him doing
Pat
it.
Pat Robertson.
Too.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah. There are just a whole bunch of
mm-hmm.
them. And that kind of thing. And because a big problem with faith is they don't know where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many in the pulpit and so many that are in the churches that believe that faith is something you generate on your own part. And so to simplify it, you call it expectation. And that's, you know, it's just, you expect this of God is what they say. Well, that's mm-hmm. not divine faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is what the problem is with that.
Mm-hmm.
In that. So, okay.
It really shakes me up every time I hear it. Bothers me.
Well.
I had a brother just recently say that to me.
No.
You know, you've got to expect it, Kathy. Just expect it.
Well, I wondered if the enemy wasn't a part of it because he told me that it. He said, I prayed and I expected God to give me a guitar or something like that. And I got it and you got to do this. And I'm going, I just wonder how much the enemy's not a part of that whole thing. That, you know,
yeah.
Superstitious awe stuff.
Led down to lily bath.
Mm-hmm.
And that, because I mean, what they're trying to do, isolated incidents, and Satan does this.
Mm-hmm.
He really will. And you expect something, and it's a derailer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what it does. Mm-hmm. It derails any possibility, mm-hmm. and some of them don't even have a chance to get on the rail.
Well, I think that it puts their idea of prayer ahead of God, because the prayer is actually more powerful. What you
Absolutely.
Say is,
mm-hmm.
is more powerful. You can get God to do what you want him to do.
Right.
If you pray a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah, so you can change the decree. You can change God.
Mm-hmm.
You have
hello.
Right, and that's a big issue. Okay, number 4 on page 12 in the tribulation period. Let's just use the one example. I'm not going to read it out of Mark 13. I'm sure you remember where it says, pray that your flight be not in the winter. You know, at mid-trip.
Oh, because of the women with being
yes.
pregnant.
Yeah, probably. Not being pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
To flee.
Mm-hmm.
You will not have opportunity to prepare in any way. That means, you won't have time to take a bag.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that'd be necessary to get out of there. Because when the beast breaks the covenant, they're headed for the mountains across the way. And that is not exactly beautiful terrain to go across to get over into those mountains, going down from especially Jerusalem and those areas. And that's one of those. But I'm sorry I have all of these in here. because we don't have time to look at them. And so these are listed. You can tell by where I have them. So now, principles of worship communication for the grace believer. This is what this class is about. I mean, that's why we. But I'm honest and give you more. Like I say, if I was writing, you'd have a lot more material. But that's why it's hard to figure out how to write some books. And God has kind of slammed my door for me on that, so I'm not complaining on it. I know all of the grief involved in getting things on paper and doing proofing and organizing, and I'm doing enough of that every week. And so I've had to settle for that. But worship communication, it can be accompanied by or accompanies other kinds of communication that may or may not be identified in the passage. Yeah, we have three other kinds of communication, 1 Peter 2:1. We have three other kinds of communication in Philippians 4:6. But that's not necessary to name them. God's word does some interesting things in that he uses little prepositions often to say this is taking out place at the same time. It is involved like worship concerning me. Paul might say that. Well, the concerning is a little peri preposition. So while you're worshiping, circle, you're worshiping, and in the middle of that target is me. So you go to a different kind. If we were running as automatons, that is, if we were robots, and we just went click, click, well, this is the kind of communication we use now. Well, don't we say this one for over here, and then this one for over here, and this one for here, these circumstances. No. We split them up so we can understand them together. And so that's where we are with this little list here, because I received a letter. Oh, I hate to say how many years ago that was. Boy, it had to be 30 years ago at least.
Oh, boy.
From somebody about this. And he was having some issues with prosuke and prosukamai. And so he sent me some he happened to have like a brand new computer program. It was just when they were really getting some good stuff. I didn't have it. So he sent me his material, but I had tools. And it was kind of fun to see. So in the end, I wrote a form paper on prosukamai, because he asked about pray in order that, when it says that's what pray that, they're what we call hina clauses, and that's not a problem. The problem is the prepositions, and he had not even considered that. I wonder if he's still alive. I haven't heard about him for a long time. And so I ended up doing that paper, and when he realized 6 months later that when I sent him this paper, it was an answer to his question. And that's reflected here. Okay. Now, well, let's look at some of these prepositions. We only have a few minutes. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 9, we have I'm trying to figure out how to manipulate my Bible pages easier.
Your fingers still don't do the walking for you, huh?
Well, I can't feel the two main pages. And so I'm used to being otherwise, and I use that humongous. Could you see me behind my Bible on Sunday?
Could you what?
Could you see me?
Yeah. On Sunday?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we be able to see you?
Because I had this huge Bible up there. I had two Bibles up there.
Oh, yeah.
And this one is that thick.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Somebody said, if you want to use that Bible, I can help you with that. We'll make that top bigger. So.
Oh.
The thing is, there are a lot of other Bibles I use too, so. Okay, let's read 1:9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Mm-hmm. Okay, now you read that, it almost sounds like, well, okay, I can ask in them. But he says, without ceasing, I make mention. And when you, the word in isn't there. It's epi, it's upon my prayers. This is at the same time as my prayers of worship, I am making mention of you.
Oh, so that's not supplication.
It can be a supplication, it can be intercession.
Okay.
Even could have a flavor of ito if there were certain elements in it. Yeah. And so epi is at the same time. And so they're intermingled. I mean, it's not a problem. Let's take them apart. I don't want to ever create the impression for people that if you don't understand the differences and categorize them when you pray, that you're not being accurate. Because we take them apart so we can understand them. And then sometimes you stop in the middle and say, oh, I just was interceding. And I'm functioning as a believer priest in this. Mm-hmm. You started with that attitude of being an intercessor and you realize you're just crying out for help for somebody. Mm-hmm. And so it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And so that epi is our preposition at that same time as. Now we're going to see another one. When we go to the end of Romans, in Romans 15:30. And there you have a striving together with your communications of worship. 15:30. And he says, now I beseech you, brethren, I'm encouraging you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, or from the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Now, that gets a little choppy the way that works because of all of those prepositions and the way that flows. And so he says, strive together with me. The preposition there is a soon in the verb.
Yeah, soon.
Yeah, so together with me, mm-hmm. and then in the prayers on behalf of me. And that's a who pair. You're standing for me. And that is probably a good description of intercession primarily. It can be supplication as well here. And so on behalf of, you're worshiping, and you're doing something on behalf of someone else, facing or toward the God. And so that's a problem. I look at that and I have a great instant message right out of the prepositions. You know, it's just, and it goes to, and it's directed to the Father. And so it's on my behalf. I'm standing in your place, as it were. And that's the who pair is our term of me. Satan attacks. You put on the armor. When you put on the armor, what are you to do? Chasing? No. It says having done all, it says stand. But it's interesting, when we stand, you do have worship mentioned. And to me, it's so hard for people to understand. You're not there asking God to help you. You're already defended. You've got the whole armor on. And Satan is not going to get anywhere. All you do is stand, and what does it say? You stand fast, and it ultimately says he will flee from you. And so in 6:18, you have the word praying. After you're armored up, to use that term, praying always with all prayer and supplication by the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, see, he's got praying and supplication. Supplication is mentioned twice. Persuke is mentioned, or persuke and persuka might have mentioned twice. So while you're armored up, you're worshiping God with all worship and supplication. Are you sitting there saying, I'm armored up, well, just don't let him get through the chinks in the armor? No, that's not what you do. You're armored up, you have the armor on, And what are you supplicating for? That's why he uses supplication the next time in the verse. Because what does he say? He says, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So you're standing, you're defended, and you worship God because of who he is. And you got your head where it needs to be when you get the armor on. I mean, you're thinking about the character of God and everything he's done. And then you're reminded, oh, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, if they were in this circumstance, I wonder what had happened to them. Help! There's supplication. Mm-hmm. And so you're not doing it for yourself at all. And so it really becomes very, very important as we understand that. My little beast over there tells me I need to stop. I will return, and we'll start at letter D because I need to hit. I'll review this way, and so we'll be on G1D next week, and I will try to review. I won't try. I will do some reviewing of periepi and huper. With that, before we move on to the verse that I kept trying to say something about, but I knew it was coming. You know, pray without ceasing. And that's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. So we will be there, Lord willing. Of course, maybe next Sunday, or next Monday. We will all be at the advanced course and being with the Father. Father, we're grateful for this evening. We're grateful again for the opportunity to trust you for strength and guidance and for your direction in the matter of this forum. We pray for those who travel. And most of all, we pray that those who present your word might be in a place where spiritual enemies will not interfere. They will be set aside, and so that the truth can go forth freely, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.